How you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday, the 29th of June, 2020, with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, episode 246. Take three. Take two was abandoned because I was certain there was a police siren winging its way past the building, but I think I was just imagining that. I'm sure there'll be one along in the next hour or so. Hope you're all well, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going, to keep yourself going until we close in on the big 250. I'm sure you're as excited about that as I am. Recording at a very strange angle today, the Zoom H1, I've had to replace the battery in that. No easy thing given the state of the mic itself. The tripod is broken. I've got elastic bands and blue tack on it. The tripod is stuffed into an empty loo roll. It's the whole thing is mounted on four books and a tea towel. It's a disgraceful setup, but hopefully this should motivate me to find the time at some point in the next couple of weeks to try and do this upgrade, to try and see it through. Unlikely to be this week. I've got quite a bit on, and I really do need to find the time to make sure I buy the right stuff. It's a kind of cloudy day in London. It's been fresher the last 3 days. We were hit with a heat wave last week, which was horrible. It really was. Made for some very difficult Star Wars football games. And that carpet does seem to turn. It's a bit like a wicket in cricket. No rhyme in there intended. Sometimes you see a Star Wars action figure playing a pass, and the ball, the trajectory of a ball just... it doesn't run as it should on that pass. And maybe having revived Star Wars football last summer, I was aware that the carpet was a very different playing surface to what I'm used to. But maybe I was just so relieved to get the Silver Age off the ground finally after 20 years away that I didn't really pay too much attention to the way the ball was travelling. But this year, now on my fourth season of the Silver Age, I'm seeing that there is a definite problem with that carpet when it is hot weather. I've still got that ambition to buy some artificial grass, but I suppose I'll wait until I have some work commissioned before I treat myself to such a luxury even. My voice there, or my mouth rather, was about to do something that I had no control over, which reminds me that the diary entry for today, foolishly thinking that this whole lockdown thing, the situation with the virus, might be sorted out by the summer. The entry for today was call speech therapist to rearrange appointment. I don't think I'll be seeing her for at least another year, the way things are going here in the UK. Something that's really doing my head in the last few days, but would be doing my head in even more if I wasn't medicated up to the eyeballs, is the tap in the kitchen. I think what's happened is, because I find drips infuriating, I've for some time now been really tightening that cold water tap, and I've probably overdone it, and in doing so made the problem worse. So what I'm doing now is I'm not tightening it as much, and then within about 10 seconds it'll just shoot out some water for 2 or 3 seconds. It's as if it's reminding me that there is a problem, and that this thing, no matter what I do, is going to continue to be a problem. And without fail, it's happening. It's the kind of thing that I tend to fixate on. I'm fixating on it the last few days. At the same time, because of what's in the system, it's not bothering me as much as it would, but it's certainly something I'd like to try and fix. I have been on YouTube over the last few months because I'm guessing it's an issue with the washer. But the way the sink is set up in the kitchen, I don't think my very basic level of understanding of these things, I don't think it's something that I'm going to be able to do. It's something I'm probably going to have to learn to live with. And the thing is, growing up at Mayflower, living there for 24 years, I remember there were so many things wrong with that place. And, you know, the tap in the kitchen, which only had cold water, that was always a problem. But it's just that 20 years on, I'm always thinking, well, this shouldn't still be in my life, this kind of thing. I'm working too hard to have a kitchen tap dripping in this way that will always annoy me. I was, well, I still am actually, but I was full of coffee this morning as I prepped the show. Lack of sleep, a really bad night's sleep. Always the case, really, now on a Sunday night, because I stay up right to the end of Howard Hughes's The Unexplained. When I used to work with a man, I'd probably stay up until midnight and then catch the final hour the following day on listen again. But now, it's a treat. I listen to the full 3 hours and then I'm up for another hour or so reading or listening to something else. And I think it's one of the reasons at the moment, apart from not having an audience, a live audience, it's one of the reasons probably why I've just put the live shows on a Monday night on hold at the minute, because that made for another late night. And then by Tuesday, I'm just feeling really run down. So the idea is record this, get it up everywhere that it needs to go up. And for Patreon supporters, I'll say quickly that from now on, I'll only put content on the Patreon page that is exclusive to you guys. So, for instance, at the moment, up until last week, because the show was going out on Patreon earlier than it was to other listeners, this show would appear on the Patreon page, but it's really not worth putting it out there when the show's going to be out pretty much everywhere at the same time. So do please bear that in mind. The Thursday show, though, will of course continue to appear only on the Patreon page. So I was up early this morning, earlier than normal, which compounds the tiredness today. So I had about 7 coffees before today's run. Can't do a run on 8 coffees. Never tried it. But 7 is something I've done a lot. Cars just whiz by, and I've realized that I've not closed the blinds. I'm gonna stand up now and go over to the window, close those blinds. I don't think it does anything. It'll be interesting listening back to this when I'm editing it, tidying it up, to see if I can tell a difference, if there's any difference in the acoustics. Back in a sec. So the blinds are closed now. I've gone with the slats angled upwards. Not that that will make a difference, I'm sure. Had another 2 or 3 coffees since I came back in from the run, and still feeling, I don't know, still feeling very fuzzy today. Bit better than I was in the morning, but definitely down in tools once I've done everything I need to do with this show today. Had a very productive morning. I've been leaving the milk out of the fridge, because I'm averaging 2, sometimes 3 coffees an hour, partly because it's a 6 pinter of semi-skim milk, so it's quite heavy to keep taking in and out of the fridge, and also partly because I think, and I have no idea why I think this, but this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that this is what packed homes do. The families that have kids, everyone's coming down for breakfast at different times. The milk is left out until everyone's finished their breakfast and everything is cleared away. I've no evidence that this is how it works. And now I'm thinking, well, if people are having cereal, everyone's having cereal in the morning, ideally the milk should be in the fridge. You don't want warm milk with your cereal unless it's Weetabix, I suppose. Weetabix is something that I always wanted to get into. I just couldn't do it. It was tasteless. I always found it tasteless, and I never understood how people get into Weetabix. If you're a lover of Weetabix, do you add something to it, like honey, for instance, like you do, like I do with porridge? If an old work colleague hadn't advised me to add honey to porridge when I first turned to oats the morning after my late-in-life orthodontic brace was fixed to my teeth back in 2013, I probably wouldn't have the porridge addiction likely to follow me all the way to the end of my life now, because I think I'd had porridge maybe once that day. Maybe it was the following day he had a word in my ear about adding some honey. I can't remember. But I know you might have heard that jaw click there. Very stiff. I'm very tense right now. Where was I? The porridge. Yeah, I think I'd had the porridge, or I'd had a bowl of porridge without honey, and of course it wasn't great. And I thought, I'm going to really struggle to get the taste for this stuff. Once I added the honey, that porridge addiction has been a losing battle. I think there is every chance that if I was to expire in this flat or one of the many others no doubt lined up for me as I close whatever this has been out, and whatever flat I expire in, and I'm found a few months later, which I'm guessing is how things are going to play out with me, I think it's likely that whoever finds me will see a bowl of what looked like porridge being soaked in the sink before it was to get washed. You know, whatever happened to me would have happened just as I was about to finally wash that bowl out. What else has been going on? Well, I've been trying to make a concerted effort the last few days or so. Another concerted effort, I think, because I made an effort with this earlier in the year, and that is to improve my handwriting because my lists, and I do make a lot of lists every day. I do like to be organized, which is, you wouldn't get that from looking at my desk. Even I am taken aback right now by the messy state of my desk. And now I've realized, here's something else. I've realized I'm not even wearing my glasses. I'm just going to reach over, put my glasses on. So my lists, that's better. My lists are particularly causing me problems. Every day I'm prepping the itinerary for the following day, and that always takes the form of a list. By the time I get to the bottom of that list, the bullet points have often turned into scrawls, and I really am losing time now, often considerable time trying to work out what I've written. I find myself thinking hard about the previous day, what it was I might have been thinking when I made the list, and more often than not, I can't recall. I don't know if that's age or it's general tiredness. Certainly, a few years ago, that wouldn't have been happening. And right now, the days are long, but to be fair to myself, I do switch off really well at weekends. And there are moments, just as there were with the weekend just gone, where I'm feeling a little guilty for just relaxing. Thinking to myself, shouldn't I be doing something productive? And then I tell myself, no, you're doing the right thing. You need to rest. You've been pushing yourself too hard for a long time now. The work can wait until Monday. So I've just been loafing, really, resting, listening to the radio or some brilliant indie podcasts or reading. What I've had to start doing is my eyes are so bad now. This is the weekly moan about the eyes that you're getting now, is I take a picture of the scrawl. Whatever I've scrawled that I can no longer read, I take a picture of that scrawl on my notebook and then I zoom in on it on the phone and I try to work out what it was that I've written. Sometimes that approach is just about successful. Other times I'm trying to recreate it with a four-color Bic. You know, zooming in on the picture isn't enough. So then I'm studying the picture and I'm trying to imitate what I'm seeing. I'm following the individual characters within the scrawl and I'm trying to deduce from what I'm seeing, what I might have done, what movement I might have done with the wrist, the flick in a certain character. What letters do I normally do that flick with? I've got another one that I can't read today and which has been causing me concerns all day. The first letter looks like an A. That's all I've got. I think I've given up on it now. I'm just generally zooming in a lot on the phone now to read stuff. For instance, now I've got the bubble off the ground with my aunt and uncle. Right away, I go there. I've got letters waiting for me to read that they've been in a panic about. Now I can often no longer read without glasses and only having a single pair. I'm trying to protect my eyes as best I can until I can get to an optician's, or not my eyes. I'm trying to protect those glasses, the only pair of glasses that I've got, so I don't travel with those glasses. So I'm having to take a picture of whatever my aunt and uncle want me to read when I'm over there, and then I zoom in on the phone and I'm able to see what's what. If my eyesight had been a problem since I was a kid, I wouldn't be struggling visually as I am now. You know, I would have been used to that. I would have overcome that hurdle a long time ago. And it just makes me appreciate what people who've had to wear glasses since they were kids have probably gone through. It's the fact that I was so fortunate to have brilliant eyesight for nearly all of my life. I mean, long-sighted since 20, but I would still regard myself as having had brilliant eyesight for nearly all of my life. And I think that's what's making this adjustment very hard. It started off a few years ago now, starting to make little spelling errors I normally wouldn't have made. And it progressed to no longer being able to see the scores on the TV when I was watching football, little things like that, and till it's now become what it's become, which is a considerable problem. But a bit like the dentist, really not in any rush to go into an optician's. So I said I went for a run this morning. It was actually in the afternoon. What time did I get out there? I think it was just after midday. And the run was okay. I'm still not at the level I was running 5 or 6 weeks ago. I've tweaked the route since last week so I can find it less dull. So I'm now going, just trying to work this out. Regular listeners will know from shows a few months ago, I always get confused between clockwise and anti-clockwise. I think I'm going anti-clockwise. Yeah, I'm going anti-clockwise now. So it means that I get the climb at the start of my route. The climb is what's bothering me towards the end of my first lap. I think that what I've done has made it slightly easier. I don't know if that's because I'm feeling fresher, because it's closer to the start of my run. What I can say is that I find the start of a run harder than the end of a run mentally. I just can't get away from it. I'm always saying to myself, as I was today, why am I doing this? Why is it so uncomfortable? I've been doing this now for a year. Why am I struggling at the start of this? And then 5, 10 minutes in, I'm okay. You know, I've overcome that hurdle and I know that I'm going to be okay. And I set myself little goals along the way, little staging posts, get to that corner, get to that tree, get to that adventure playground. You know, breaking the run down in stages, but it is very it's very difficult for me. So I think it was a good thing to tweak the routes, just anything that might make the whole running thing less boring for myself. There was some fly to lip contact today again. So last Monday I had the incident covered in well, the incidents rather, plural. Covered in episode 244, where I had two flies fly into my mouth. Not something that had happened before, happened twice in the space of 45 minutes. Nearly again today, I had my mouth closed, but I definitely felt fly to bottom lip contact. So I think that's going to be a big problem going into the summer, or going deep into the summer as we now are. But certainly a breeze today. I think the BBC weather page called it a gentle breeze. I found it a bit more than a gentle breeze. I found it disorientating. It always disorients me running into the wind. But got through it. It's done until Wednesday, and hopefully Wednesday I can build up on today's distance and pace. The pace was okay. The pace was decent. The distance, I'm probably running just over half of what I was running up until May, so that's really disappointing. I think that's partly down to laziness, and I don't know what else. I do find it hard to motivate myself. The important thing is I'm still getting out there 2 or 3 times a week, and what I'm doing at the moment, you know, 6 months ago I would have been delighted with, but just now I feel like I'm having to work hard to get back to the level that I was at, and it's going to be a while yet before I can do that. You're listening to episode 246 of Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available. Sweating the Small Stuff. Ways to get in touch with the show. Follow it on Twitter and Instagram at 1607 West Egg. The Facebook page, of course, still not functioning properly. I can't even post videos on there right now, promos for the show. So it is impacting on the work. But these guys, Facebook, you know, unless you're a verified account, celebrity, whatever, they're not going to be interested. So at the moment I'm stuck with a Facebook podcast page that just isn't working properly, but you can still follow it. I'm still able to post occasionally. facebook.com/drt is available, and if you need to email the show or want to email the show, drt available at westegg1607.co. .uk. Just moving on to some housekeeping, a few more podcast apps. The show can be found on now Podbay, Podtail, and Pocket Casts. I think Pocket Casts is, I'm not sure if it's just a phone app. I think maybe you can use it on your laptop or desktops too. As always, ways to support the show: rate, review, and subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. iTunes reviews really do make or break shows. Say it every week. One review in a couple of years, that's not great. Well, it's not great. It's not great. And the importance of reviews is that they increase your visibility in the iTunes store, and that can bring in a new audience, you know, and grow the show like that. And that is why we podcasters always ask for iTunes reviews if you enjoy the show. If you want to support this work online, there's an Amazon link at my website, DanielRuizTyson.com. You click on the Amazon link, it takes you through to your site as normal at no extra cost. You Amazon recognizes that you come through a link on my website and kicks back a small percentage of your purchases back to my website at no extra cost to you. There are also PayPal and Ko-fi.com links at DanielRuizTyson.com. If you're not sure about committing to the Patreon page and just want to make a one-off donation for that week's bonus episode, just click on the PayPal or Ko-fi.com links at DanielRuizTyson.com, and I will transfer that week's bonus episode to you. Those are the ways to support the show, and I do appreciate you guys listening and supporting this work. Just going back to the various platform providers this show appears on, I'm trying to add it to more sites. Thank you, Mr. Driver, shattering the illusion that I'm recording in my own studio, my own soundproofed studio. So as I was saying, I'm trying to add the show to more sites as I become aware of them, and I'll keep you posted as and when that happens. If you do use any of these apps, whichever one that you might use, subscribing to the show on there, even if you might not listen to it on there, I don't know. But again, that helps in terms of the show automatically updating whenever a new episode is out, operating at the level that I'm at, which is effectively non-league. That's often not happening. And when I chase the providers to see why my latest show hasn't appeared, they come back to me, sometimes with relish, I have to say. I get the sense from their emails that they're relishing sending those responses where they say that because I might only have 5 subscribers, the app isn't updating the show automatically. It has better things to do than to deal with small fry. It's got its tongue hanging out waiting for the latest episode of the Peter Crouch Dad Wrote a Porn podcast to come out so it can update that. My weekend was quiet as usual. Saturday, as always, up early to get the neighbour's paper. I found myself waiting outside the shop. There was no sign on the door. The shop had opened. It's right opposite the flat, so I can see when it opens. I can hear Like Small Talk, or his colleague now, Like Small Talk, pulling the shutters up, usually 15 or 20 minutes after I've got up. If they need to close for a few minutes, they usually stick a sign on the door. And it was a little fresher on Saturday. Thankfully, I'd gone out, though, in just short sleeves, anticipating I'd be back in the flat within a couple of minutes. I had the beanie hat misshapen after 11 months of trying to fit it over the bouffant stroke mullet. But it was a bit fresh out there with no sign on the door and the door being locked. I couldn't help wondering if something had happened. That was my initial instinct. I had a good look through the shop window and also tried to look over the counter in case Like Small Talk might have been, I don't know, collapsed, maybe collapsed on the floor, I thought. But then thinking about that, I thought, well, how would he have locked the door? And then I thought to myself, well, it could be a robbery. The robber stroke robbers would have locked the door. I was just thinking worst case scenarios, as you do. As the first person outside the shop, I of course then had to deal with inquiries from every customer that came after me and queued up behind me. Social distancing. Is it closed? Said one. Any signs of life? Said another. Then one guy tried the door. I was thinking, this guy, what does he think I'm doing out here? Look how close I am to the door. You think I haven't tried the door? You think I'm just out here for fun? This guy who tried the door, he'd actually arrived eating pistachio nuts, leaving a trail of scattered shells behind him. He then tried the door before he shoved some more nuts in his mouth. A hygiene fail in any era, that is. But in this age of the pandemic, it's just moronic. No hand gel on him either. Finished the pistachios, then he popped a cigarette in his mouth. And I thought, how quickly people forget. Eventually, after about 15 minutes, Like Small Talk appeared from out the back. He had a beige winter coat on, unusually. had a hood as well, kind of styled like a duffel coat, and had an Alice band, still hasn't had a haircut. It turned out there was a leak in the back of the shot, so it had been a sudden thing, as I thought. There hadn't been enough time for him to leave a note on the door. Now, I'll come to it shortly, but with all the hair now gone, I could actually go into the shop with a mask, a face mask, put on a voice, and they wouldn't know who I was. So it would solve all the potential small talk issues that I've had over the last couple of years. And, you know, the only reason I haven't masked up in there is because it would come out of the blue and they know me and like small talk and now like small talk. They don't wear face masks. They're more at risk than individual customers. They're in there all day dealing with hundreds of customers. And it just, I don't know, it would seem an affront to turn up with a face mask. But now that I've got rid of the hair, I could really disguise myself with a face mask. They're not going to know it's me. I just wear some stuff in there that I haven't worn before. Maybe I finally do some iron some stuff specifically just to go into the shop, put on a different voice. All right there, pal. Morning. Just a paper, please. I'm thinking that's a possibility. Maybe I'll use the flamboyant military fatigue face mask that the online seller who sold me the wrong sun hat also included with a low-key sun hat. Maybe I'll use the flamboyant face mask they included. I don't know. There's lots of possibilities opened up by this altered look. Friday or Saturday, might have been Friday night, I had to deal with a really annoying client who was instant messaging, which for me, when you're trying to come to an agreement with a potential client, it's a bad sign when there's loads of instant messaging coming your way. You know, for me, give me all the information I need in one email so I can assess everything. And that tells me that you've got a very balanced approach to work rather than being very scattergun about it, rushing all the info out, you know, line by line, hitting send, send, send. And I had to say this to them because for me, it's you've got to get in front of these potential problems. You've got to establish that pattern of working with a client. Otherwise, this would become the norm when you're actually doing the work for them. And I just thought to myself, imagine taking someone like this on. You'd finish the work and they're just going to keep coming back to you. You'd get relentless messages, and that's not the way that I really want to function with clients. So I think I might have missed out on what was potentially a good job, although as usual they were trying to get away with not paying the going rate and doing that usual thing that potential clients do where they say, ah, it's not a lot of work, an hour at most. Well, if it's an hour at most, why aren't you doing it? You're outsourcing it because you can't be asked doing it because you know it takes a long time. That's all very frustrating. So as touched on a few minutes ago, I finally found the nerve to shave the head on Saturday afternoon. The whole weekend was building up to that moment. And I have to say that, I mean, it took maybe about 90 minutes, but it was probably the most fun I've had in a couple of years. It really was. It was quite, well, cathartic would be wrong. It was just fun. You know, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I eventually did a brilliant job. And I think this is it's good for me to know this, because if I'm happy to stick with this lack of a hairstyle, this shaven head, it means I don't have to worry about small talk with barbers for a long time, or, you know, picking up the virus, you know, by going to the barbers. And I do think I did a really good job, at least in the short term, and a big breakthrough, because I can't pin the mullet stroke bouffant on the pandemic, because the lockdown came 8 months after my last haircut. So I think it was just the always fretting about small talk with the barbers and the lack of rapport that just kept me from staying on top of the hairstyle, and saw the hairstyle long disappear into first the bouffant and then the mullet. And I say brilliant job in the short term because the scalp at the back is feeling a little sore. Now, I can't remember if it was on last Thursday's Patreon bonus episode 245, it was, I think, where I was talking about watching videos on how to shave your head. I'd also spoken to the chin on the phone. Now, he shaves his head regularly. I think I spoke to him after I'd done the Patreon episode, or no, it might have been just before. The chin shaves his head regularly, and he was telling me his technique, how he does it. And I've also, you know, seen a few videos crop up on the Instagram feed as well. And then I started reading up on using clippers to do your hair. And that's where I started to get confused and felt that I was looking at another potential situation where my lack of common sense would come into play. You know, the stuff that I was reading was saying you've got to go with the grain of the hair or against the grain. I can't remember which, but it was all about the grain and telling you that how the hair falls would differ depending on the part of the skull you're at. It reminded me of being a kid and sunbathing on holidays in Spain or Malta with friends when I was in my late teens, and I could never work out where the shade was, and I'd always be laughed at, understandably, but it's just I don't have any common sense. And this was similar. You know, I couldn't work out what direction my hair grows in, on what part of the skull, or maybe it all grows in the same direction. And in the end, I just thought, if I keep doing this, I'm just going to end up faffing about. I'm already faffing about with the upgrade of equipment for this show. Just do it. Get this out of the way. One less worry. If it works out, you're going to be really pleased with it. Initially, when I fired up the new clippers, I was initially skirting around. I was doing the sides first. And I think about a minute or two into doing the sides, I liked what I saw. And I thought, okay, that's a good start. I've made a good start here. At one point, having not touched the top of the hair, I was looking at a potential Peaky Blinders look because the sides were completely shaved, really shaved down, and there was quite a bit of hair on top that could be swept back to complete a very good look. And I thought, no, one, I'm too old now for that look, and two, that look only works with a lot of hair product in it. If you don't have any hair product, the hair's going to be uncomfortable to wear. It's going to be in your eyes, it's annoying, you know, just do what you set out to do initially. Just lose the hair. It's not a big deal. Lose the hair. And losing this went beyond simply needing a haircut. It was down to being constantly uncomfortable day in, day out. It was down to the pain of trying to secure it ahead of a run under a bandana or a buffer, all of that. And it is one less thing to worry about. I ended up using both the new clippers and a beard trimmer. Took the number one blade that I was using off for the clippers, rather, he said, getting his words out eventually. I took the number one blade off and just used the, whatever it is, the 0.5 blade underneath. And so I went really thin. And then I also went over the hair with the smaller beard trimmer. The back of the hair was, it was tricky. But once I worked out how to use the mirrors, I was okay. I'd say that harder than the neckline was around the ears. I found that a little disorientating. I'd fold the top of my ear over, blocking my hearing, and that was throwing me a bit. But I think one of the useful things that I found when I was doing all the reading up was, and I probably did need to read this because, again, lack of common sense, I would have thought that I could just use the clippers on as much hair that I had and not run into problems. But it did say, you know, if you could dampen your hair, it would make it easier for the clippers. So the mullet, I wet the mullet, allowed it to dry just a little bit, and then I bunched it up like a very sort of late 80s ponytail, and I started cutting it off. And then I started doing that with the sides as well, because once I'd cut the mullet off at the back, then with the sides being long as well, I looked like I had a mid-90s bob, which is a horrendous hairstyle for a guy, and one that I'm guilty of having had. And once I was aware that I had it as a young man, I did get rid of it. But I remember arguing with a number of hairdressers who tried to bring it back a few times, despite being specifically told, no bob, don't give me a bob. And there was a moment where when I was going over the back of the head, because that was the hardest bit, getting rid of the hair and evening it all out, and I could feel the back of the head, the bulbous back of the head, as one Spanish hairdresser put it to me the week before this show debuted on Resonance back in the spring of 2014. And I just, it reminded me of that very uncomfortable situation. She was a Spanish hairdresser. I didn't let her know that I was Spanish. And then I could hear her talking to another Spanish hairdresser about the bulbous back of my head causing her some problems. And as I felt the clippers go over the bulbous back of the head, It just took me back 6 years. Whether I have a bulbous back of the head, I don't know. What I do know, they say that a small percentage of us do have Neanderthal DNA. They say one of the ways that indicate whether you do have a Neanderthal history is if you've got a bulbous back of the head. If it sticks out at a certain point just above your neckline, then it's likely that you have some Neanderthal in you, which would be, I think it's very interesting. I am fascinated by how the Neanderthals and early humans might have, interbred. I think that's a fascinating thing for me. So harder than the neckline, though, was definitely going around the ears. But once I used the little clippers for that, I was okay. And I think this will be much easier now for me to do a second time around. I put all the hair in a bag that must weigh several pounds. I mean, we're talking 11 months without a haircut. It was a substantial bag. Could have tied a knot in it, and it would have looked like I was leaving home for some long adventure, stuck it on the end of a cane and gone out, walking to wherever. Feeling a few razor burns now. So that's where the lack of common sense might come in. That's where I might pay a price, because I was going up and down, looking in the mirror. Okay, just get rid of that bit there, that bit there. So as the hair is growing back, I've got to hope that it's not growing inwards, because that, of course, could give me problems. Put some shaving balm on it after I'd showered. Put some more shaving balm on it again today to calm it down. And also after the run, had a shower, and again a bit more shaving balm on there just to calm it down. And I'm hoping that that inability to work out what's against the grain and what is with the grain, I'm hoping that that doesn't come back to haunt me. I did it once, shaving in the late 90s. This was shaving my beard, flashy goatee. It was a hot day. I think it might have been late spring 98 or 99. Might have been 99, I think. And my neck just exploded one afternoon at work, got really sore. Wasn't helped by the fact I was having to wear a work shirt, had to get an emergency appointment with a GP who put me on antibiotics that same day and told me I'd shaved incorrectly against the grain or with the grain, I forget which. But ever since then, I was always wary when it came to shaving, particularly, around the throat area where that infection had been triggered. The good news is that having lost the hair, the new sun hat now fits and fits easily. I needed that boost. I needed to know that I'm not subhuman. I needed to know that just because I'm a forceps delivery, it doesn't mean I can't wear hats. And it's possible that now that extra large hat may be too big. It's possible. And again, that's a boost to the fragile ego, because I was getting very paranoid as I was having to force it down onto my bouffant. And seeing that it was ending up looking like I was wearing a top hat rather than a sun hat, that was leaving me feeling a bit low. I didn't really need that. On Friday, there was a second outing for my bubble, which I'd launched the week before last. My uncle was at the hospital having a scan. I'd gone to visit my aunt. I called her on the way there. I offered to pick her up, whatever she needed on my way, given that I can now see her, and I regretted it right away, I have to say. She sent me to this really rough place in Brixton Market for green peppers, and I don't mind the market. For me, the sadness going through the market, certainly for the last 10 years, is that it's a pale shadow of what it was. The gentrifiers are never going to be buying their meat or fish from there, and part of me doesn't blame them for that, I have to say. But this place, I had to go in for my aunt. The space in this particular shop was so tight, it was rammed with so many people in there, and I thought it's a near certainty that I'm going to come out of here with the virus. I was masked up, but the face mask, it's just a token gesture, really. It's just some etiquette in the store. I don't believe it's going to protect me too much, and certainly not when everyone's crammed in as they were in that shop. I tried to get served from outside the shop, but one of the workers said I needed to queue up at the till. I called him boss. I thought, that might give me some street cred with this guy. Didn't send me into the shop, had to queue up. Wasn't in there too long, but long enough to worry about how things might pan out as a result of that shop visit. My aunt always sends me to the roughest shops. I think it's one of the reasons why I talked my cousin into transferring my aunt and uncle to Riff Raff Mobile, because whatever contract they were on before with whatever provider, they were always having to go into news agents to top up their credit. And my aunt, whenever my uncle was in hospital, my aunt would always make me go with her or send me on my own to the roughest shop in Stockwell, a place where, as a kid, I'd bought my first Smurfs. Won't surprise you to know that there was also Smurf football in addition to Star Wars football and Sabucho and car football in my life. Basically, there was nothing I didn't play football with as a kid. And the shop over the years has changed, and it might not even be at its worst now. I think it's the problem that it tends to have in terms of gang activity outside, right outside it, which has plagued it for the last 20 years. It might be finally easing off now, possibly, but she'd send me in there to top up her mobile, or she'd come with me, and she was fearless. She'd have a walking stick, a perm, and probably these guys didn't see her as a threat. And then, there's me turning up to top up her card. White guy, there's no telling whether I'm a gentrifier or not. It's a different thing. They're kind of seeing, well, this is their area. What are you doing there? You can't tell them, well, this was your area too, back in the day. And then you say, sorry for using an Americanism. But I think it's good that my cousin switched them to Riff Raff, because I don't need my aunt sending me to these places anymore. And that shop in Brixton Market, hygiene-wise, it was certainly lacking. You're listening to Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available. Episode 246, Sweating the Small Stuff, Mondays and Thursdays. If you want to support this indie show, the best way to do it is to support it at patreon.com/DRT available. It's just $7 a month, a single tier of support. It gets you a free bonus episode every Thursday. So episode 247 will be out this Thursday, and it is those Patreon supporters who are keeping this show coming back, and I thank them for that. So I've kept the tiers simple, just one tier, $7 a month, you get an extra show every week. I think that's a really good deal. I think if you enjoy this Monday show, there's more of that on the Thursday, and when you listen to it again the following Monday, everything on that show on Monday will make sense because you listen to the Thursday show. And you also get to know that you're supporting a show that is not a big player, so I'm never going to be able to sell you mattresses. Believe me, if I could, I would. Let's round up this week's regular episode. Just as my voice is going, let me have a look at the running time at the minute, 45 minutes. Turning out to be another long show. I'm enjoying myself, but my voice isn't. Where are my receipts now? Here we go. Going to have to knock the light on for this. So this is the part of the show where I round things up with my latest Nectar Points update. The first of two Sainsbury's trips actually came 6 days ago. I accrued 4 Nectar Points on a £4.45 spend. There was a 6 pint of semi-skimmed milk. At the weekend, I think I was actually sitting on 14 pints of milk, which for a single household, albeit with an imaginary son, that is a lot of milk. So I bought 6 pints of semi-skimmed. I bought the Neighbours Radio Times, which I always pay for in cash. That took me up to 512 points, worth £2.56. And I knew that come Thursday's shop, I'd be looking to cash in on the 500 points, the magical 500 points barrier. And next we moved to Lidl. Thankfully for me, last week it was the more civilised Stockwell branch that I was visiting. After I left my aunt's Spanish Carnu, as opposed to the hellish Brixton store where the staff are at odds with both the customers and themselves. Little news to report, at least from the Stockwell branch. Heavenly Light Butter is now back in stock after 2 or 3 months where I've simply not been able to find it. This has led to me experimenting with various different butters. I currently have 5 different tubs in the fridge. Clover, I know that I'm not a clover guy. Horrible stuff. It's still in the fridge. I don't know why I don't chuck it out. Maybe I'm thinking, well, I might need it at some point. I struggled with clover. I could get rid of it and I wouldn't miss it. At no 30p, tins of beans either in Lidl, and I'd forgotten to get one in Sainsbury's. I like to have these on standby in case we get close to another apocalypse again. It is a concern they were out. What does this tell us? Does it tell us anything? Does it tell us that the stockpilers are back? Maybe. I don't know. I picked up two low-fat yogurts, 45p each. I've been buying the Tesco equivalent, but it's almost like having flavoured water. So I went back to the two. I went back to the little yogurts that I know. What I will say about the Tesco low-fat yogurts in their favour is their foil lids are of a better quality. I mean, ideally, I'd be happier if their foil lids were of inferior quality and a bit more thought and money went into the actual yogurt. There's no tearing when you pull their lids back, unlike the little ones. If you don't manage to tear the little yogurt lid when you're opening it, you'll find the lid constantly flipping back when you're scooping yogurt into a bowl of something. It is really annoying. In more anal, quieter moments, I have considered the possibility of contacting the yogurt producers to see if they're aware of these foil issues. Managed to hold off. I think if I'd made contact with them, it's quite possible they might have hit back with, it's 45p. What do you expect? On Thursday tends to be the regular nectar day, the day I get my points. I went into Sainsbury's armed with my 512 points. I'd broken through that magical 500 barrier earlier in the month. I bought, among other things, another coffee refill sachet. I do like sachets, I have to say, when they're substantial, when they're flat. You know, I've never really been into recreational drugs. I've never done coke, but I'm thinking of episodes of Miami Vice right now from when I was a kid, you know, when they're meeting with coke dealers and the coke's packed in a rather compact way into some, you know, whatever it is, some packaging, some transparent packaging, and someone, you know, who's interested in buying some of the coke brings out a knife and cuts the packaging to taste the coke. I always wanted to have that moment where I just, you know, bring out a little knife and slice the packaging. I wouldn't taste the coke, but I just want that moment where you're slicing the packaging. That's what those coffee refills feel like to me. Very compact, very small. I do like them, and they're worth the money that they cost. They're a better deal than buying just another jar of coffee. So I bought the coffee refill. Bought a spicy, thin, and crispy chicken pizza for Sloth Saturday's calzone conversion, which was a roaring success. I bought some low-key deodorant too, Cool Aqua. I do like a low-key deodorant. I cashed in my points. I did say last week I wasn't someone to sit on the 500. You know, once I hit the 500, I'm ready to spend them. None of this, you know, saving up until I've got 20,000 points. So I cashed in my points. They were worth 250. So my £12.06 spend last Thursday, that came to 956 once I'd cashed in those bonus points. I'd also accrue 12 points in that particular shop. I left the store with a respectable balance, I think, of 24 points worth 12 pence. I think when your points tally is so low, I mean, I think 24 is decent, but you know, obviously when you look at the fact it's only worth 12p, that's not great. And I think when your points tally is so low, the receipt should simply say, right now, you don't really want to know, my friend. A long way back to 500. And when I'm in this situation, I often find myself thinking, when I get there, where will I be in my life? Will the show have more than 16 patrons? Will that tub of clover still be in the fridge, or will I have seen sense and just chucked it out? So many questions about the 500. And that is it. That is the end of the show this week, the regular show. Patreon listeners will get their weekly bonus edition, episode 247, this Thursday. If you want to join them, sign up at patreon.com/DRT. Available. There is lots of bonus content on there. Thank you guys for listening. If you're not joining us on Thursday, I'm back next Monday with the first, no, it'll be the second show of July, because episode 247 on Thursday, that's going to be the first show of July 2020. It is time for you to get those shoulders back. keep on walking towards the sun and keep washing those hands. I'm Daniel Ruiz-Tyson, and this start of the week I have been available.